So the question, do you believe that you're a part of changing the world? How many of y'all believe that you might be a part of changing the world? Okay, about four of you. That's good. That's enough. If you don't mind, just go ahead and confess and just look at somebody close to you and go, you know what? I might change the world. Go ahead. I might change the world. Now, here's what I know. You will change the world that surrounds you. You will change the world that surrounds you. And you are in that world every day. So I kind of want to be very clear where God's taking us in this moment of time. The more you take care of what's in front of you, the more that takes care of everything else. The more you take care of what's in front of you, that takes care of everything else. And I want you to know that really there is no understanding of grace and mercy till you receive it. And so today I'm calling on you to receive the things of God. In just a few moments, I'm going to give an opportunity for many of you to express what you've already received. Because you know what? The grace of God's been really knocking on a lot of doors here in this church. Telling you, you know what? I am Jesus. Some of you have heard that Jesus is Jesus. He will save you. He will forgive you. And now it's time to open your minds and your hearts and say, you know what, God? I need your forgiveness and grace. How many of you all need the forgiveness and the grace of God? Anybody need that here today? I need the forgiveness and grace of God. Anybody? You can go ahead. That's a good thing to say. Thank you. Thank you, God. Man, I'm so glad God didn't kick us out, aren't you? Whew. If it was on a merit system, I couldn't preach to you. And I want you to know something today because I'm very alarmed. The older I get, the more alarmed I get. Because, you know, we got a lot of people that think you can memorize a Bible verse and understand the heart of God. Wrong. And that's why we're going to show it. Well, after you tell it, you got to show it. And you know what? I'm convinced that this year is going to be one of the greatest years of loving Jesus Christ together if, first of all, we'll realize we got to receive the love of God. How many of y'all have ever been around a person that can't forgive? Anybody been around a person that can't forgive? Anybody ever had that experience? You know why? They don't know Jesus. The Bible tells us very clearly that those that don't forgive is because they haven't received forgiveness. I can forgive, period. I'm going to forgive. You know why I'm going to forgive? And guess what? How many of y'all have ever had somebody hurt your feelings? Anybody ever had hurt your feelings? If you're married, somebody's hurt your feelings along the way. Amen? I've hurt Elizabeth's feelings, and she's even hurt what two feelings I have, okay? And so guess what? We've hurt our feelings along the way. To stay married, what do you got to do? You got to practice what? Forgiveness. To keep from kicking your kids out of the house. What do you got to practice? Forgiveness. How many of y'all punted your kid the first time they messed up? Mine would have left at 6 months. Boom, I'd have sent him out. No, it's forgiveness and grace and mercy, man. That's the way God connects to us. Now, I want to start there today. You're not going to show it till you receive it. Does that make sense? You can't show the world Jesus without being saved. I said this one time at a conference. I've never been invited back to. I've not been invited back to a lot of places. But you know what? Here's what I told them. They asked me this question. They said, well, Ayers, why don't people share the gospel? I said, they don't know him. He said, we're talking about people that sit in church. I said, they don't know him. I said, now they know about him. They sing about him. They write books about him. They got little bumper stickers about him. They got bookstores where you can go buy trinkets and bracelets and t-shirts about him. But they really don't know him because when you know the grace of God, you're going to share that with somebody else. And you're going to be able to forgive and you're going to be able to love. And here's what I want to tell you. I want every one of y'all to have that world. You say, well, Pastor Steve, what about all these people? People are going to mess up. Let's start there. True or false? People are going to mess up. Now, here's what our job is. Even when people messed up, guys, we follow Jesus Christ, and it's to bring the healing of God to a broken world. We started this service this day. Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, I've come to preach good news to the poor, to help the blind see and the lame walk. And this is just my opinion, but it's highly accurate. We've turned the church into a bunch of stuff. Y'all been at Hillview. Some of y'all been with me a long time. That's why I don't want to hear about your cup, because I don't care about your cup being filled. Because God doesn't care about your cup being filled. He cares about your life being changed. And I won't preach you a watered-down gospel. It's not about you. In 1980, the church made the church about us. And now the world's crazy, because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. Does that make sense? And so anytime you're in a church and it's all about what they do and who we are, and, you know, it's just fluffy and lovely, and you'd think Barney was the savior of the world. Let's just be friends, our friends forever, and hold our hands. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus will help the blind see, the lame walk, and the broken get healed. Amen. And so, first of all today, receive the grace and mercy of God, okay? You can't show it till you get it. Make sense? You can't show it till you get it. My baby sister, I love her dearly. She's a brilliant woman. I love her. And I remember she didn't have children for a long time. And I was raising my kids. Do you know, before she had kids, she could tell me all about raising kids. And I laugh now, because the Lord, through fervent prayer, the prayer of her big brother, I prayed that the Lord would give her a son. And I prayed the Lord would give her a certain type of son. And the Lord has answered my prayers. And I watched her. I said, now, what book are you going? She goes, because what I love about my nephew Jack is he loves Uncle Steve. And I make sure that I fill him with every redneck thing I can figure out to teach him, just so he can go home and bother his mother. And here's what I love about Jack. I got a long list of things to go as he ages. You know what? How many of y'all found it's easier to raise kids until you get some? It was easier to be married when I wasn't married. How many of y'all found out nothing works like it says in the book? How many of y'all have ever had those moments where you had to put things together and you got out the easy instructions? How many of y'all found out that the instructions weren't so easy? But we need to go to the heart of God. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and follow me. A familiar story if you grew up in church, not a familiar story if you haven't grown up in church, but a familiar happening to all of us. A lawyer approaches Jesus. Remember, you got to receive it before you really know it. You all know I'm telling the truth. I mean, really, you don't know how something tastes until you what? How many of y'all have ever eaten at Shoney's? How many of y'all, come on, go ahead and confess it. You did it. When I was a kid, how many remember? And we don't have a Shoney's anymore. We turned into a drugstore. That says something, but I'm not going there. How many of y'all remember the hot fudge cake on the menu at Shoney's? Where was it? Where was it? I ordered the hot fudge cake, but they never had the one that was on that menu. The one where the cherry was redder than red and the chocolate perfectly rolled. Where was that hot fudge cake? I'd always look at the menu and they bring it. I said, no, I want the one on the menu. Not the one that looks like a smushed brownie. The one that looks like a bit. Did y'all have that experience? How many of y'all found that some things don't work like it does in the book? Because we don't receive the heart of the issue. That's the first thing today. To show God, we got to receive God. Everybody cool there? Can I move on? Well, Jesus hit this moment with a lawyer of all people, a lawyer. Now, we have lawyers in each one of our services, so I want to respectfully handle this profession. What do lawyers do? I knew that was going to be the first thing. No, what do lawyers do? They dialogue. They look at words. They look at concepts. They defend. True? They either defend or they accuse. Isn't that the process of law? But they help either defend people with the law, or people are accused because of the what? Law. Okay, that's the way it works. So you have a plaintiff and defendant in criminal law. You have a prosecutor and a defense attorney. Well, a lawyer approaches Jesus. And behold, a lawyer. Kind of sounds like in the Christmas story, doesn't it? And behold, an angel. And behold, a lawyer approaches Jesus. Now watch. He's going to state but not receive. He's going to state but not receive. That's where a lot of us get confused today. We got a form of religion, but it doesn't have any power in us. Because we've stated it but not what? Received it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I hope that's a question everybody's got. How many of y'all have figured this out? I'm not going to be here forever. Now, this is why you ought to live every day. Okay, four of you have. That's good for the rest of you. You're not going to be here forever either. We must decide, and the older I get, probably the more concerned I get about this. You know, here's the thing. We're all born, and we're all going to leave in death, and we don't know when, so we better live every day precious. When I was a kid, I used to wonder, these old men would stand up in church, and they'd say this. They'd do it like this. Some of y'all remember this if you grew up in church. I want to thank God for saving my soul. I'm 82 years old, and every day I get up and just thank God for breathing. I'd sit there as a kid and go, oh, gee, that was tough. Now I tend to get up and say, God, thank you for letting me breathe today. Thank you for letting me have life today, and I want to live in this day. I'm receiving the day. How many of y'all need to receive the day? This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to receive the day. Behold, a lawyer stands up, and he comes to Jesus, and here's what he says. He's going to put him to the test. He says, I want to inherit eternal life, he said to him. Jesus corresponds in his field. What's written in the law? How do you read it? So he asked the lawyer, what's in the law, and how do you interpret the law? And he answered, you should love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. We went over that last Sunday. There's the core emphasis of following Jesus. Okay, before we can do anything Jesus-like, we got to fall in love with who? Jesus. Now, here's why we need to fall in love with Jesus. Jesus has always loved God with his heart, soul, mind, body, strength, and everything he had. Now, when we get honest about ourselves, have we always loved God with that kind of intensity? Come on, work with me. How many of y'all think about some other things other than God in the morning? In fact, my life's changed. Some of your life, you said, you never say anything about Scottsville Road anymore. I said, new road. God provided salvation. I no longer have to travel in front of Greenwood High School. I bypass the confusion. It's easier to get up in the morning. I'm going to be at church in 10 minutes instead of 35 minutes because people from Allen County don't know how to go fast. See what I'm saying? They got to go fast on the new road. It's funny. But you know, little things aggravate us every day. You know why? Because we don't receive the bigger grace over our little things a lot of times. Amen? He's asking him a question. He said, well, I know the law. The law is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Love your neighbor as you what? Self. And then the lawyer, let's look at this because this is what we do a lot. Remember, you got to receive it. Have you heard that today? You got to receive it. You notice I'm not putting you an option there. Receiving is not a discussion. It's something that's got to happen. If you're going to be saved, you got to receive grace. Does that make sense? You don't just kind of, people say this all the time. Well, you know, I believe there's a God. Well, gee, that's not enough. Well, I believe there's a higher power than me. Well, that's not enough. I believe in the God of the Bible, but I haven't embraced him. You're still not connected. But you know, for those of you that have said this, I'm a sinner. I need God. I want his grace. I want his mercy. I want his power in my life. I want you to know that God never, this is just me. But I have never seen God refuse anybody that repents. So you know what? Instead of focusing on who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved, I don't spend any energy there. I'm calling on you in the name of Jesus to repent and receive grace into your life. Because when you do, you'll never be the same. But there's a problem. We seek to justify ourselves. How many of y'all have ever tried to justify yourself? I promise you what I do is not as bad as what you do. How many of y'all ever mess up? How many of y'all can say it? Good. Well, guess what? Right now, you're doing something that most of the world can't do. Have you ever heard anybody today? Today, nobody's at fault. Have you noticed that? Watch. This is how silly we are. What do we do with problems? What do we do with problems and with things we know are going to get us? What do we do with them? What are some of the ways? Y'all can talk. This is January. Blame it on somebody else. How many of y'all have heard, blame it on somebody else? It's amazing. The leaders that I hear today, none of them have ever done anything wrong. Have you noticed that? When they get called, it's not my what? And most of our leaders are what? Lawyers. No offense, lawyers. I'm just showing you how long this has been around. He said, now, he asked Jesus this question, this lawyer does. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Now, what's God always about? This will be real quick. God wants us to what? Live. God does not want to punish us. God does not want to keep us down. God does not want us to have half a life. God wants us to have a full and abundant life. And he wants us to what? Live. How many of you all are living? Hillview, here's my dream. Those of you all that are married, have the best marriage possible. Those of you all that are raising kids, enjoy raising kids. You ought to come to worship and it ought to be something that's exciting and enjoyable. I praise God. This is the only place I've never gotten bored in. Some of you all may have gotten bored, but I haven't gotten bored, which blows me away because I get bored about everything. Elizabeth and you are the longest two things I've ever stayed with my whole life. I plan on staying with both as long as possible. But you see, I don't bore because God's opening up adventure after adventure after adventure if we'll just live. He said, you do this and you'll live. I promise you still do this and you'll live. If you'll trust Jesus, if you'll ask him to forgive you, if you receive his grace, and then love him with everything that you have. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength. What will happen in your life? You'll live. Now, Professor John Paul, does that mean your life will be trouble-free? Absolutely not. Will there still be moments of hell, even for those who live in Christ? Yeah. But here's the difference. When hell comes our way, what does Jesus do with hell? He conquers it. Does that excite anybody? When Jesus sees hell, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will fear no evil. Jesus says, yes, there is hell, but I'm going to put grace in your life. I'm going to put the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to put the prominence of God in life. I'm going to put an eternity in you. And guess what? When it comes your way, instead of defeat, you will know victory over it. What if we started living like that? The world would know Jesus. You see, I'm asking you to just let the world know Jesus. Now, I'm not asking us to do a $500 million campaign in a stadium somewhere to have a big singing convention and preaching convention and praying convention, because I'm convinced we've been spending money on that now for about 70 years, and I've come to the conclusion it's not working. What do you think? I look at the world, and it doesn't look like they're getting Jesus real well, right? It's not working. What if we just took care of the people that were in front of us and gave them grace and mercy? What if we just did that? No fanfare, no big organizing, no posters, just doing what God asked us to do. I wonder what would happen to the world. I bet they'd see Jesus. Now, the lawyer wanted to justify himself, just like the rest of us. How many of y'all want to justify yourselves? Huh? And then he asked him this question. Seeking to justify himself, he asked Jesus this question. He said, well, who's my neighbor? How many of y'all can love your neighbor? Okay, Timmy can. Got two or three back here. Stephen can. Seven of you here can love your neighbor out of several thousand here. Okay. How many of you all found this? Let's switch it. How many of you all found it's difficult to love your neighbor? It's kind of like it depends on who my neighbor is. How many of you all have found that it's difficult to love your neighbors that you don't like? And how many of y'all, other than liars, how many of y'all have some people here that you don't like? Yeah, me too. There's people that we like and there's people that we what? Let's just get that out in the open. Now, here's the good news. Our likes and dislikes, I got some powerful preaching here. Our likes and our dislikes don't change God. Isn't that cool? God loves us all the same, no matter what our preferences are. We all got preferences. I mean, look around. We all wore something different today. Why is that? I'm glad we all don't look alike, aren't you? Would y'all all want to look alike? Gross. What if we were all the same size, all the same shape, all the same vocal tone? I mean, how boring would the world be? It'd be like living in a world of Datas on Star Trek. You know what I mean? Just now, however, there's groups of people that would like that. They're called fundamentalist Christians. If you look, if you go to a meeting with all of them, their hair's parted the same way. All the women wear the same kind of dress. They carry the same kind of Bible. They sing the same kind of songs. They got the same things memorized, and they are holy. That's not Jesus. This guy would have been a part of these guys. Trying to justify yourself, you will always find out. Anytime you attempt to justify yourself, you will always discover you're not God. That's one of the common discoveries. And so be very careful. I want to show you a response. In the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to get rid of this move. And get into this move. How many of y'all glad Jesus did not come? I'm going to get up here where you can really see it. How many of y'all glad that this was not the motion of Jesus? That is your third grade teacher. It's not who. Jesus' move was what? So here's this lawyer. He said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, let me tell you a story. He said, it was a man on the road to Jerusalem and Jericho, and he was beaten badly, and he was robbed, and he was left. Beaten, robbed, and left. That's a lot of people in the world. Sometimes we're beaten down. It's a lot of things beat us down. I'm not even going over those things today. I just want you to know, everywhere we are, there's people that have been beat on, they've been robbed from, and people have departed from them. And God's calling us to be the grace and mercy. So watch this. After we receive the love of God, then there's a natural response. We reveal the love of God. We receive it. We what? Reveal it. Now I'm going to show you two religious folks. Some of y'all are so proud of being religious. God could care less. In fact, in the parable that Jesus tells here, the religious folks are the ones that don't get it. In fact, in the majority of the parables that Jesus tells, it's the religious folks that don't get it. And then we got all these people seeking to be what? Religious. And I know y'all get mad when I get on religious people, but I'm trying to warn you, there's no credit. Because I don't want some of you all to stand before God and go, well, now, Lord, I was a good Baptist. I know, go to hell. Well, Lord, I was a committed Methodist. Yeah, I know, go to hell. Lord, I was a Catholic from birth. I know. Go to hell. Now, hold on. Here's why I'm telling you that. Those things will not save you according to the Word of God. Somebody hear what I'm saying? The church is powerless for salvation. Well, then I'm going to give you another one. Some of y'all worship the Bible more than you do Jesus. There's nothing that ticks me off anymore is when I'm trying to have a discussion with somebody and they start quoting Bible verses to me. You know why that ticks me off? I know them. That's not the problem. Activating them is where it gets tough. You see, the lawyer quoted the Bible. He quoted the biblical text. He quoted, Dr. Earl, the Word of God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Love your neighbor as yourself. But he skewed it according to him. Who is my neighbor? He said, well, I'm telling you, this guy is beaten, robbed. And guess what? He said a priest came up, and guess what the priest did? Passed by. Is that God's attitude? Y'all talk to me. I'm going quick here. Is that God? Rick, that ain't God's attitude, is it? God don't pass by. Brother, God doesn't pass by. Aren't you excited about that? I'm glad that when I was 9 years old, sitting over there at First Baptist Church, right there in that great white temple with the big stained glass up top and the roof up there, and I thought God lived up there. When I was a kid, I thought God lived up there. And there I am, a little kid. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit came into my little bucket-headed life, and when the Holy Spirit knocked on my door and said, Stephen, you are a sinner. You have done wrong. I went, you're right, Lord. And I'm glad when I took the hand of Dr. Burhans at 9 years old, he didn't blow me off and say, you don't understand what you're doing, because he looked at me and he said, Stephen, do you know what sin is? I said, that's when God tells us to do something and we do the exact opposite. He said, are you a sinner? I said, yeah. He said, how do you know? I said, the Bible said don't lie to your parents. I lie to mine all the time. I said, Dr. Burhans, I'm so bad, I've even stolen the offering money that my parents gave me to put in the offering plate.
I got in bad trouble over that. My dad opened one of my middle drawers and he goes, "Where'd all those quarters come from?" Well, I said, "You know them quarters you give me to put in a Sunday school plate? I figured they had enough money." Your pastor even confiscated quarters when he's a kid from God. So you know what happened to me? You kids better straighten up right now. You know what God did to me? He made me stay in church the rest of my life for what I'd done the first part of my life. You better be careful. Especially you Sunday school skipping kids. Yeah, so what we got? Grace and mercy. God didn't pass by, he came in. Amen. So there was a religious guy, a priest. He went around the other way. There was a Levite. Carried his Levite. He born into it. Amen. He born into it. Come from a holy family. The Levites were born into their position of leadership. Okay? Y'all go, don't look at me funny. Watch this. Like the Kennedys. If you're a Kennedy, you don't have to be able to lead. You just have to be born a what? Kennedy. I mean, there's some names you get born into it, right? Rockefellers. We still got Rockefellers well. Why do you give Rockefellers leadership? Because they own most of New York. They're Rockefellers. These are Levites. They're in the society. Well, what does this Levite do? They got prominence. They're supposed to be really good people. He sees the guy beating and robbing. What does he do? Steps on the other side. Now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask us as a church to quit sidestepping and start showing grace and mercy. How many of y'all spend more of your day sidestepping than you do addressing the problem? Sometimes you just got to. How many of y'all have ever sidestepped the person you love the most, your husband or your wife? Boy, I have. And Elizabeth want me to change something. She'll go, "Where's the trash?" I said, "Oh, it's probably where God wants it to be right now." "I thought you were going to take it up for me." Well, I was. Used to, I'd make some up some creative story. Now I just say, "I forgot. I think I'm getting Alzheimer's, honey. I think you need to check me." Because anytime you want me to do something, I forget. But it's better to say, "Honey, I'm sorry. I'll go do it right now. I just hadn't done it." You know what I found? My wife respects me better when I just tell her that I've been disobedient than when I try to create a story that justifies myself. Somebody hear what I'm saying. Don't step around. A priest, a religious identity, stepped around. A Levite born into what's supposed to be right, he stepped around. And then there was this Samaritan, and Samaritans were despised at this time. They were just despised by the Jews because the Samaritans were created by the Jews being disobedient with another nation. God told them, "You keep your religion pure." They didn't keep their religion pure, thus the Samaritans. The Samaritan comes, and guess what he does? Some of you have heard the story, but he sees the guy, and he immediately addresses, he reveals the mercy of God. He bandages his wounds. Now, check this out. This is amazing. I want you to hear what the Samaritan does, because I really want to talk to us about being a church that shows grace and mercy. People are broken. Would you agree with me? People need the love of God. Would you agree with me? Hillview, if you're going to hang out here, what we do in January is really let people. Now, this is a difficult church to hang out in because guess what? We love all types of people. Are there weird people at Hillview? Yeah. Look around. And for those of you that just had the thought, "I'm not weird," you just keep thinking that. Because you know what? Really, we're all weird in our own way. And God loves us and meets us where we are. I just want you to see what this Samaritan did. The Samaritan addresses the situation, reveals himself. So here's what happened. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. That's what the people of God do. If you've received God, you'll have compassion on others. Amen? Yes. So I really want us to stir up the show compassion. Now, we're not going to have a compassion conference in 5 weeks of compassion preparation and hand out cards to show you how to do Compassion Week, do 7 advertisements to show that we're compassionate people, and have Pastor Keith write a new song on compassion. Here's the best way to do it. Why don't you just do it every day? No matter where you are, the compassion of God can be. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Y'all are doing it in your marriage. Y'all are raising kids. How many of y'all, the beautiful babies that are in this church, how many of y'all got to show compassion this week? You know it's already coming. Any of y'all got any 2-year-olds? You better have the compassion and the grace of God if you're raising 2-year-old.
And you think that's bad? It occurs again at 20. Okay, so I mean, it stays with you. Look at here. He went. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn to take care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back. I just want to stop here. Here's a guy that gets it. Now, note, he did some things that are very unusual. He put him on his own donkey. He got out his own. It's going to be shocking, y'all. What? By the way, you know what I always do? Every politician cares about poor people on election day. Have you noticed that? Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, Republican, Democrat, Independent, or I just don't know. Guess what? They all talk, their default is what? It's for the poor. For the poor. That's worked since the early 60s. Poor. Let me ask you a question. If they cared about the poor, why do we have more poverty today than we did when they started caring about the poor? I always do a lot of research on people that run. And I look and see how much money they've pulled out of their own pocket for the poor. You know what I found? That most people are concerned about the poor if they're using my money. But when I look at their own money, they're not like this Samaritan guy. They'll pull it out of yours and out of mine and out of the world. But this guy, out of his what? Put him on his own donkey. Watch this. Here's what I'm telling you. God's already made the plan. If we would take care of the people that God puts in front of us, the world will be changed. Is that true or false? You know what happened to this guy? Complete deal. He hands the money to the innkeeper and he says, keep him, get him all the way back to health. And he said, and when I come back by, if it takes more than this, I'll make sure you're taken care of. You know why? God's grace, God's mercy, God's completeness, complete healing. Now, you know why we don't like this plan? JT, you know why we don't like this plan? Simple. You played football for me. Guess what? You know why you were a good football player? You hit people really hard. What I loved about JT, he didn't always know the play, but whoever got in his way, they knew he was a part of the play, whether it was in the wrong position or not. That made him a great player. I had other players, they knew all the plays, but they would not activate. They were trying to play linebacker like a ballerino. It didn't work. Nick Conley's another one. He didn't always know the play, but somebody thought he did. He hit, he activated, he got involved, he got messy, he got dirty. He put his body in what? Motion. Church, as simple as this about show it, you and I got to make a decision to be mercy and grace. Jesus looked at the lawyer and he ends his dialogue like this. You tell me. Blaha, you're a good attorney. I think Jesus made a pretty good appeal to the jury here. What do you think through this parable? And so then he looked at him and said, Counselor, which one of these three is the neighbor? Rarely does Jesus do this. He said to him, the one who showed mercy. Rarely does Jesus say this, but he said it today. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Jesus has mercy on all of us today. How many of y'all are excited about that? Now listen, I love y'all. I'm so glad that you've chosen to hang out at Hillview. I'm so glad that you've come here today. But I want to tell you something. Listen, we're going to love people that nobody else likes. Are you all okay with that? And I don't care what color you are. Okay, so please don't. I don't get stirred up about color. Guess what? I like all of them. I even love all the new colors we're making. Hallelujah. I could care less about color. I really could. I never have cared about color in my life because I don't think color means anything. Okay? Now, some of y'all go, yeah. No, you really wouldn't like it. I don't think it means anything, so I don't think you should have an advantage over it either. I think it's this. We're all sinners, man.
Not some of us, all of us, and we all need God's mercy. And I just really think we ought to spend more time loving and looking to bring life than condemning and destroying each other. That's not words from a young idealistic preacher, because I'm not young anymore. And nor am I idealistic. That's words from Jesus Christ, who not only says that's the idea, Earl, he says that's my heartbeat.
You say, well, Pastor Ayers, what do I do when I try to somebody? So, I've done something nice for somebody and they just spit in my face.
I don't know. I just keep on walking through. That's what Jesus did.
And what about when they reject me? I don't know. I just keep on walking through. That's what Jesus did. And when they want to crucify me and put me on the cross, I might even have to go there on the cross. But guess what? 3 days later, I will be back. How many of you all are going to trust the mercy and the grace of Jesus to just change what's in front of you? So I'd start that grace here. I started at the house. Amen. So here's some challenges of showing love. Man, if you've gotten bent up at your family, unbend it. You say, well, they won't forgive me. I don't care. You forgive them. Now, guess what some of y'all are doing right now? What are you going to tell me? Come on, I want to hear it. The favorite line of Americans.
It's not.
It's not fair. Life's not fair. It never has been fair. Whoever said it was fair lied. Now you've heard it live. There is no fairness. There will never be fairness. There will never be equality. Ever. We're chasing an illusion. Because guess what? Here's the only equality we have. We're all sinners falling short of God's grace. We're all equal there. And then there are those that say, Lord Jesus. And he comes and puts the oil and the wine, and he bandages us, and he takes us to the end, and he heals us, and he pays in full for our sin. Because you know what, Jesus? Jesus is the only guy that's ever fulfilled. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know of another person that would be hanging on a cross, and the words that fly out of his mouth are what? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Aren't you all glad that I was not the Son of God? They'd have hung me on the cross and I'd said, Daddy, show them what you got. Some Roman soldier said, you know what I could do to you? And I said, let me show you what I'm going to do to you. And I'd have had me about 5 warring angels come up on my side. And I'd have looked on it and said, bring it on. And guess what? Nobody would live. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them so they might live. That's the love and mercy we're going to show. Y'all cool with that? Any questions? Okay, this ain't going to happen until you get saved. Some of you may have realized today that you're just religious. That's okay. That's a great realization to come through. I grew up in religion. Listen, I would have a lot easier life, really. I'd have a lot easier life if I could just be religious. People like you in your little religious cube. If you tell them what they want to hear, they think you're wonderful. You live out a ministry career, patting people on the head, going to the hospital, and they say, oh, man, we got a wonderful pastor. He never caused any controversy. Here's why, because he never did anything. Or you can begin to open up your Bible. Elizabeth remembers this. On the night that I asked her to marry me, the greatest night other than salvation in her life, she said, this is what I told her. I said, honey, we will probably get fired in every church that God calls us to, because I got to tell the truth and people don't like to hear it. And then I'm crazy on top of that. And I could do something nutty at any time and that'll get us fired. We're probably going to be really poor and disliked by a lot of people. But would you like to marry me? Let me tell you how crazy she was. She goes, yeah. And you know what? Here's where my wife amazed me. I always got wadded up because it was tough on the front end of our marriage for sure. And I'd go, I'm sorry. And she'd go, quit being sorry. This is what the life we live. Hallelujah. You get to live the life God's given you. Guess what I say about your life? Hallelujah. Now, guys, some of us have been together for a long time. A long time. You know, Craig, you and I were talking, man, what's happening to us? A longer time. I laugh. I remember I've told y'all this, some of our younger worship leaders were like, man, I remember when Hillview came, everybody was like this. I said, we didn't have arthritis in our shoulders. I said, we used to stand for hours to worship, but that's before we got knee and hip replacements. But I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Until it's all over, we're going to give God the glory. I promise you. Remember when we used to have all the motorcycles parking around the church? Y'all remember that? I'm going to tell you what that'll be. In another 10 years, it'll be a gang of power scooters pouring into worship. I'm not lying. And some of your attitude hasn't changed either. We'll have to, look, I'll have to call everybody together. And because this is how crazy this generation is that's come to this church. And they'll all be in their 70s. Gentlemen, would you quit racing your power scooters down the hallway? Because you're about to hurt some children that are 4 years old. And one of you hit one the other day, and we had to go talk to their parents. And so keep the power scooters at low speed. You know. And I probably have to look at Jamie. Jamie, quit riding wheelies on your power scooter, okay? But you know what? Till our last breath, may the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. You got to receive it. Today, some of you have been called to be saved. You say, well, how do I do that? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all that far along? If you look at the Ten Commandments, if you've broke one, you're a sinner. So just in case you were wondering if you were a sinner, because I know some of you all went through the only three sins you know about. You say, well, I ain't never drank, I ain't never smoked. I ain't never cussed. Why don't you go ahead and put a fourth one on that too, and you ain't ever lied either, yeah. I don't even want to go there. We're sinners. And sin means this, we've been disobedient to God. And guess what God says? I'm going to be grace and mercy to you. And today, some of you are going to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to save you. Now, for those of us that are following Jesus, how many of us need a little bit of tune-up? We need to be a little more merciful than we are sometimes. I've learned this in the last 5 years. Quit pointing fingers and start opening arms. I fuss less than I used to. I didn't say I was totally over it. I said less. I've quit fussing because it doesn't work. Let's start loving the people that are closest to us. Slowly they come. God gets us better. Some of you, for the first time in your life today, are going to be saved. God's going to come into your life. Some of you have received God this week or the week before or 6 months ago and you've never been baptized. I'm going to encourage you to be baptized because it's time to be obedient. Okay? And I do you a deep injustice if I sit here and lie to you and tell you it's okay to just kind of know Jesus on paper but not know him in your heart, because that's not true. You got to repent of your sins. And then the first step, Ruth, into obedience is what? Baptism. Guess what? Some of us need to come and say, God, help me be a little more merciful. I'm not too merciful. True? How many of y'all need a little mercy help? If you receive God, show it. Be merciful. And here's the last thing. Know that God is restoring us always, and he will restore those closest to us. You know, it's interesting what makes up Hillview. A lot of medical community, a lot of the teaching community, a lot of the service industries, and our business people, most of them are independent business people that help and serve others. That just kind of makes, this is a we like people kind of church. So if you're a guest, I want you to know we like all kinds of people. And that's why at Hillview, there's all kinds of people here. To me, that's what makes it fun. Aren't y'all glad we just don't have one type? I'd hate to just have yuppies or just have buppies or just whatever, baby. Everybody, welcome. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Today's message is simply effective. I'm going to show you how powerful simple things are. How many of y'all have ever had to go to the dentist? We got some dentists here today. How many of y'all ever had to go to the dentist? You got to go do that. If you're going to get a cleaning checkup, all that, what do they always ask you? They always ask you one question. It's a simple thing. We don't do it a lot. Oh, yeah, they ask you all that too. Pastor Ayers, have you been flossing? Always floss the night before so I can say, well, I have flossed. you know, without lying. You know what I mean? I didn't lie. I did floss. Of course, that dental hygienist, she's standing there with one of them metal tools. It doesn't look like you're doing a sufficient job. Is that because I just did it last night because I was new and I'm coming to see you this morning? She says, you know what flossing does? It keeps us from having to put dentures in you later on. The last time a dentist told me that, I thought, you know, it's a lot like the gospel. I give a simple message of the gospel that'll bring eternal life. And most of us would like to find something complicated. And most of us just don't do it. A piece of string keeps your teeth. You know, I don't know what 3 minutes a day it takes to floss. Maybe five if you got a lot of teeth. But it's simple and it works. Now, Elizabeth over there, the floss queen, we all go to the same dentist and she goes, your wife flosses all the time. I said, she's going to outlive me. She needs teeth for her next husband. I said, she's it for me, so if mine fall out, no big deal. You see what I'm saying? Today, some of y'all simply need to come and repent of your sins. Some of you simply need to say, God, reveal your grace through me on a daily basis. Some of you need to say, you know what, God, you've restored me. I need to be a part of restoring others. Show it. Who is my neighbor? Ah, the one who showed mercy. Showed mercy? Well, in the name of Jesus, show it. Let's stand together. Lord God, bring us to this altar. Teach us, show us, love us. Lord, we just ask for those that are repenting right now that they'll come and receive Jesus. We ask for those that just need a touch from you today to be touched. We ask those that just need to be energized by your presence that they'll be energized in your presence. Lord, those that are broken and hurt and busted and life has thrown curveballs this past week, we just ask, Lord, that you just show them you're still there. You're still there. So in the name of Jesus, guys, you need to be baptized. Pastor Jamie's right here. You need to come see him. You need to come and just pray today and ask God to touch you. Let's come. So as you come right now, I'm just going to ask God to touch you. All right? So Lord, may your spirit be open at this altar. May you heal our hearts. May you bless our lives. May we show others who you are. Church, this is open right now for you. As you all come, let's come right now. In the name of Jesus, come on. Altar's open.